Thank you for choosing to listen to our sermon podcast. My name is Chris Mitchell. I'm one of the pastors here at First Covenant Church of Anchorage. If you have any questions or prayer requests, feel free to stop by or send an email to office@anchoragefirstcovenant.com. God bless. When I was in seminary, I was asked several times to write position papers from my denominational background. But the problem is I didn't really come from any denomination. So I came to faith as a teenager. The church I started attending in high school, it was nominally Southern Baptist. And so nominally, they called themselves Barely Baptist because they so had such little in common with the larger denomination. And all the other churches I attended after that were non-denominational. If anything, I had somewhat of a negative view of denominations. When I was asked what denomination I was part of, I would refer to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree that there should be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brethren. What I mean is that each of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas. Why follow Christ? Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? That appeal to unity really seemed to condemn denominations to me. But by the time I was in seminary, I wasn't against the denominations necessarily. I actually started to attend the Covenant Church, but only because I liked the pastor and Alyssa was mildly involved in that church before. She lived in Seattle, and it was really close to the seminary, walking distance. But then I got involved in a church plant. My buddy Dave, he invited me to be part of his launch team, and the church he planted was going to be part of this covenant denomination. And so I was invited to go to the church planter's training with him, which convinced me that I am not a church planter. That's not anything I want to do. But I was really left impressed with the Covenant denomination, with their high view of Scripture, their commitment to being a multi-ethnic denomination, their desire for justice. So, in seminary, I started to say, well, I'm non-denominational, but I kind of lean towards the Covenant. And since then, I have been part of three Covenant churches, not counting that little church plant that I was part of for a while. Quest Church in Seattle, which is a very modern, very ethnically diverse church. Community Covenant in Eagle River, which is a middle-class, fairly homogenous, suburban-style church. And then First Covenant here, which is actually probably the most traditional type church I've been involved in. And I've really liked each one of these churches. But I did wonder, like, how could three churches, which on the outside look like they have very little to do with each other, be part of the same denomination? Because honestly, their differences are more than just appearance and worship styles. It's not just skin deep. I would say that all three denominations' political leanings led differently. I would say that there are even some differences in theological convictions. Not in the core tenets, but in some theological convictions. But all of these churches were related. And they all just agreed that despite major differences, that we're all better together than apart. And I love that. Now, as I said earlier, we are in a series called Belong. And so this is not going to be original material. This is material I'm adapting, besides like the little stories I tell, from the Covenant membership class. And today we're actually going to be looking at the denomination. And before I kind of get into some of the history of that, I do want to say, despite my initial hesitation about denominations and, looking at the divisions of the church in Corinth, I have come to believe, like, okay, there is some scriptural precedent for denominations, right? There's some precedent for broader churches working together to work out theological differences and figuring out the core truths. And that would be like how do you include Gentiles into the body of Christ, found in Acts 15, or to support one another in need, which is the raising of funds to support those in need in Jerusalem. And you can find that in Romans 15 and Galatians 2. And even the way that the epistles, Paul's letters and John's letters and Peter's letters were circulated around, passed around from church to church to train up local churches. Those are all kind of like denominational works whenever you look at it. So I've grown to accept denominations. Like, okay, they're not all bad. There is some precedent for it. Now, at the beginning of the service, we had a few minutes talking to one another about our names. Where you came from, what it meant. Because our names and the circumstances around our names, they tell us a lot about ourselves. And our denominational name is the Evangelical Covenant Church. And it's a good name, but I prefer, learning a little bit about the history, kind of the name before the Evangelical Covenant Church. And that was, the church used to be called the Mission Friends. The Mission Friends. Because it was based on the desire to pursue a culture of friendship in Christ. Pursuing the mission of God together. So, shortly after the denomination was founded, formally founded, in 1893, it described itself as the covenant is not a church organization in the ordinary sense, but a mission society having churches as its members. These churches have consolidated together because of the missionary spirit, which led them to missionary enterprises too large for any church to undertake. So, crudely speaking, the church, the denomination, is a group of buddies doing stuff together. That's what the church is. Just a group of buddies doing stuff together, right? Friends who love Jesus, who do the stuff together that we think that Jesus would want to do. And the denomination as a whole are groups of these churches working together to do things that Jesus would want to do that are kind of too big for just one church to do by themselves. That's our core. That is our core identity of who we are as a denomination, which I like. I like that simple DNA. Now, we do have four kind of identity markers, so to speak. So we are biblical. Okay, that's the unofficial motto of our church, of our denomination, comes from P.P. Waldenström, the Swedish theologian, who was famous for his maxim, "Where is it written?" And that just means Scripture forms our identity, not our assumptions about what Scripture says or our cultural traditions, but Scripture is our backbone. And that's how primarily a Scandinavian denomination, right, a Scandinavian immigrant denomination can open its doors to other people of every tribe and every nation and every culture. And now, so over a third of all covenant churches are multi-ethnic or ethnic, okay, because they know, like, it's not just about our traditions. It's about Scripture. That's our backbone. Two, we're devotional. Okay? So, we expect to be transformed through meeting God in Scripture. Okay? And there should be an element of personal holiness in who we are. Because if our faith doesn't serve to train us in righteousness, then what point does it serve, right? So we should be changed as we look at the Scripture. And that has roots in the pietistic movements in Europe in the 17th and 18th century. Third, we're missional. We have a job to do, okay? We're called to spread the joy of the Lord. And part of this identity can be traced to the Covenant Church's Moravian roots, okay? The early Moravians emphasized that a life in Christ should be joy-filled, okay? You should have a joy-filled life. So, and we have a mission to invite those that are burdened and sorrowful and wearing heaviness and hurt. We should invite them into having a joy-filled life, a life subject to Christ. And last, we're connectional. We're one body. We have one mission, so we act like it. Let's work together to do that mission, which is sharing the joy of the Lord, despite our differences, okay? We have differences, but what matters is we're on mission together. We have something to do. So we're connected. We're relational. Let the Holy Spirit bridge the gaps between how we get along. That is the blueprint for our denomination right there. And everything else kind of flows out of that. So, like I said, this is a little bit more of an educational, drier sermon than a sermon. So, just so you know. Now, that being said, we still need to have some sort of way to figure out, well, how do we know who to work with? Okay? Now, we're saying that it doesn't matter. We're willing to work with anybody because we're about the mission. But we got to make sure that everybody's going in the same direction, right? Because we want to pull in the same direction. It doesn't make any sense if we're pulling in two different directions. So we do have some things that we're like, okay, we got to figure out what are our core tenets. What are the core tenets that we all kind of have to believe? And so we have the six affirmations. The first affirmation is this: the centrality of the Word of God. Okay? We're people of the book. We trust Scripture. It's the only perfect rule for faith, for doctrine, for conduct. And it forms the transforming power that fuels Christian life. And that's that reliance on the Bible. That is what leads us to affirm both women and men as ministers and at every level of leadership. It's the reason why we pursue ethnic diversity in the church. And it's the inspiration for every act of compassion, mercy, and justice, right? So it's Scripture. And if it's not scriptural, then it's not what we do, okay? It's not that there's plenty of other things that a person can do. That's good things to do. But if we're all going to be doing something together, right, if we're going to be investing our time together, then we're going to try to make sure it's scriptural. Because all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, right? That's 2 Timothy 2:3-16. Okay, that's what forms us. The second thing, our second affirmation, is the necessity of new birth. God desires to have a personal relationship with us. Okay? So we affirm the necessity of new birth, which means committing ourselves to Christ, receiving His forgiveness, and acceptance to eternal life. The Apostle Paul wrote, "If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come." That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. So we all have to have something that changes our life, okay? We live in a disenchanted, disillusioned world. I mean, we do. But we need to be born again. We need to be born again into a richer world. And that's where our life with Christ starts, okay? And I'm going to be going kind of fast because there's a lot of stuff. But in our newsletter this week, I will send out a link that will go to like a guide that will have all this information for you. So if you miss something, you want more scripture references, all that type of stuff, you'll get it on Thursday when our weekly email goes out. But so our new birth is the beginning of our new life, right? And it's a lifelong process to be transformed in this world. Our affirmation 3, a conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit just asks us to grow deeper in Christ, right? We affirm the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Spirit works in individuals and in communities. And it instills in our hearts a desire to turn to Christ. So if you want to ask, like, well, what is the Holy Spirit anyways? The Holy Spirit is what leads us to Christ. Okay? And if you want to ask if something is from the Holy Spirit, ask, well, does it look like Christ? Is what it's leading to us? Is it like Christ? Is it sacrificial? Is it good? Is it kind? Is it gentle? Is it loving? It's the Holy Spirit who enables us to have our obedience to Christ and to help us conform to his image. Okay? It's what gives us the power to live in this world. Okay? And it gives us gifts, spiritual gifts, so that we can serve one another, to build each other up, to be the body, to do all the things that we need to do. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power of his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Okay, that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it drives us and it gives us power. Affirmation 4, a commitment to the whole mission of Christ. Okay, we're a missional people. That's how we got it started, as a people on mission together. And so from the very, very beginning of our identity, we've been about mission. Like we've been organized to serve other people, to tell other people about the love of Christ, to help make sure that people are met with compassion, with mercy, with justice. Okay? So we follow Jesus' two central calls. The Great Commission that tells us to send, to go out and to make disciples out of all the world. And the Great Commandment, it tells us to love the Lord God and our neighbors as ourselves. And so that's what we believe. Okay? And so that doesn't just mean telling people that God loves them. It means showing people that God loves them. It means investing in their lives. It means investing in acts of service. It means helping children that need a place to stay. It means partnering with our friends in the Hindustani Covenant Church. It means partnering with our church, our friends in Gulliban. So sacrificing our pastor to be with them so that they can receive God's love and hear his teaching. Okay, we are a missional people because he's shown us what is good and what the Lord requires of us. To love justly, to act mercy, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our Lord. All right, our fifth affirmation. The church is a fellowship of believers. Our membership requirement is that you have a faith in Jesus Christ, and it's open to all believers. So, now, we know that some people are full-time. We have full-time jobs in the faith, and that's, you know, coming up with scripture, kind of organizing things, doing some administrative tasks. But all of us are priests. Okay, God's called us all as ministers. There's no hierarchy in that. So you're as much of a priest of God as I am. The same Holy Spirit fills me that fills you, and vice versa. Okay? And that Spirit can speak with power. And we're a fellowship of believers together. We're friends together. And we need one another. That's why in the Covenant Church, It's the local church that is the highest authority in the church. Everything gets kind of passed by the local church. We always take votes with what the local church wants. Because we believe that God speaks to you. And so that's why we have congregational meetings. And it's important for you to serve up and to show up and to let your voice be heard. Because God might be speaking something to you for all of us. All right, and the sixth affirmation is the reality of freedom in Christ. And that basically means that we're free to disagree. Okay, that we have our core tenets, but we can disagree about lots and lots of stuff. Okay? We're free from all those things that divide us. Okay, we're free from those things that divide us. We can let those things go. Worship styles, okay? We can sing all sorts of different types of songs, right? It doesn't matter if we worship in the mountains or in the temple, right? Because we worship in spirit and truth. We're free from that. We're free to disagree about things. But still, we're still together. We still come together, even in our fighting, okay? It's like we're married, okay? So you can have all the fights you want, but you're having those fights together, and you're staying together, okay? We're free from those things that tend to divide. We're free to have differing opinions on the issues of the day. We're free to disagree. I know that some people, since we've come back, I've moved communion to every week. I know not everybody likes that. We're free to disagree about that. Okay, it doesn't mean you're any less of a Christian if you disagree. It doesn't mean you're more of a Christian if you agree. Okay, we're all still trying to be faithful to what the Lord's put in front of us. Now, there's always some organizational type stuff. The denomination that's been split into 11 regional conferences. And we have lots and lots of meetings. Sometimes you might be surprised at how many meetings we have. Because if you're going to be a denomination that's based on being friends, that means you got to hang out with each other. So there are our annual meetings. There's the local annual meeting, which is in March in Bethel. If anybody wants, that's a member, would like to be our representative, wants to go to Bethel, talk to me. We can talk to the board later. And then there's our annual national meeting, and that's usually in the summer at the end of June, and I think it's in Kansas this year. Those are awkward. I got to say, as somebody that's gone to them, that hasn't grown up in the Covenant Church, I've only been going to them for the past 4 years. It's kind of like going to your in-laws, like a family reunion. You know, like those first couple times where like, everybody's happy to see you. They're like, hey, so you're the pastor of First Covenant or whatever. But like, you don't know anybody and it's really weird. They're happy to see you. But the more that you're there, the more you develop a relationship. And that relationship builds. And you get to know each other and you get to trust each other. So, if you want to kind of find out more about the covenant's like, and you have the freedom to go to Bethel or to go to Kansas, let us know. And whenever those times come up, and if you're a member, you can learn how to be part of the family and let our church's voice be heard amongst those different stages. I have more stuff. Whenever you go into a lot of things, like this denomination, there's a lot more information. So honestly, I was talking with Pastor Christie, and I think next year, sometime in 2022, we're going to go over those six affirmations, and each one of them is going to be a sermon, because it's hard to go through it all in just one shot. But what I wanted to do is just give you a taste of this is who we are. These are the things that mark our identity. Okay, if you want to know some different like little organizational things, I can talk to you individually about that, how we're structured. Because those are important too. But I think it's just important to know how we got to where we are and who we are. If you have any questions about that, let me know. Because who we are is based on being friends. Okay? And so we need to give ourselves time and space to be friends. And that's how we live together. Is we get to know one another, and we get to know each other's stories and where we came from. So this is a first step into that larger life.